give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work, as it is written. He has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed for righteousness. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift.
Well, good morning. Well, we're on week two, Generous Living, and today's title is The Gift of Giving. Is it a reasonable expectation for us today that we should be giving to the Lord cheerfully? From the words of Paul, as he writes to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, we can learn some valuable lessons about this giving. Number one, that giving is out of an overflowing joy, not an overflowing wealth. It's not about having lots of spare cash, but a heart that is full of thanks. Number two, that giving is about getting involved in what God is doing. By giving, we are actually making ministry happen. Number three, that giving is about growing in faith, excelling in that area as we seek to do for others. And last one, that giving is rooted in the best gifts of all, in Jesus Christ, who for our sakes became poor, that we might become rich in Christ. So we're going to have a look at three reasons why Paul encourages us to be a cheerful giver this morning. And my first slide, Michelle, the generosity of God, looking at verses 6 to 7. In verse 6, Paul encourages that the church in Corinth, to remember, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, whoever sows generously will reap generously. We probably all know that scripture quite well. I think you could say that it's common sense that if you are a green-fingered gardener and that you want to plant a crop of beans and get a big return, planting one bean is not going to do it. Planting many beans will give you a greater optimism of producing a bigger harvest. That's allowing for our British summer weather, of course. But Paul develops this truth by saying that it's clearly true physically in agriculture. It's also true spiritually with God. Three times he says that as believers give, or as they sow, if you like, so God does something in return. In verse 8, we read that God is able to make you abound in every good work. In verse 10, we read that God will supply an increase to your storehouse of seed and will enlarge your harvest of righteousness. And then in verse 11, you will be enriched in every way. The message seems to be that the Corinthians gave out so they would receive more in return from God himself. Why is Paul saying this to the church at Corinth? Is he trying to persuade them that all they need to do is to give some money to him and God, and we'll give them more money than they ever had before? Some churches read this passage in a way that they've developed what they call, I linked to it last week, that prosperity gospel. God wants to make you financially rich. And in a way to get rich is by giving to God, who is then duty-bound to give you more in return. I think there's a distortion in the understanding of that passage, and I'll tell you why briefly. Look at with me at what Paul says to the Corinthians in verse 8. God says this: God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things and at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. The aim is not luxurious or indulgent wealth, but all you need to do is keep on with the good work, in this case, giving. And then verse 11 makes it even clearer. He says, you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. You know, all that we have is from God, isn't it? We come into this world with nothing and we leave with nothing. Paul is saying that what God gives in response to individual giving to him is not for that person's own self-indulgence, but so that we continue to give and bless others. God gives so that generosity can continue to flow out of us. This is not a prosperity gospel. It's a gospel of generosity that Paul talks about. Just think how encouraged that you would be if you'd been a Corinthian Christian. Paul knew that they were probably worried that if they gave, would they have anything left to give in the future? Paul wants to reassure them that out of their generosity, God will give them enough to carry on being able to give. The message for us is giving generously opens up the generosity of God to us. You can think of it like this. Do we have a closed hand or an open hand? I think I referred to this last week. If we give with a closed hand of money, it has to be eked out of us and nothing can go in its place. But if we have an open hand, we're open to fresh generosity of God, whatever that means to us, as God blesses us in return. Now, I'll be honest with you, I can't be sure what that will mean for you personally. I know people have given really generously and sacrificially and suddenly found themselves blessed with more money from an unexpected direction than they were expecting. I know others who have given generously and found later that they didn't need so much of the things they had given up and had more to give away than they thought. I know of others who are giving and worked out what that really means to them, and then as they've given, there's been a tremendous spiritual blessing because they've walked with a generous heart to give back to God. In giving, we open ourselves up to God's generosity to us. In giving, we open ourselves up to God's generosity to us. Let's look at my second point, which is thanksgiving to God. This is based on verse 12. Let's just read verse 12 together. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Paul has another reason that the Christian can be a cheerful giver. And that is that we are giving and we're returning our thanks to God by our giving. Paul lists two effects in this act of giving, that horizontal effect and the vertical effect. The horizontal effect is that the needs of God's people are met, and in the case of physical and spiritual needs of the Jerusalem church in this passage. But also that vertical relationship with God, that when we give, we're recognizing that we are thanking God for his blessing to us day by day by day. Paul puts it, it's also as an overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. That sense that as God pours into us, we can pour out. There is an important principle here to keep in mind, though. Christian giving is not just a horizontal exercise. It's not just working out how much the church or whatever organization needs and how much we feel like giving. It's also important about the vertical exercise as we express our giving thanks to God for all he has done. We can thank God in lots of ways, but the Bible's clear teaching is it is giving, that giving is one of those ways. Paul wants us to know that as we trust God with all that we have, and I know Paul here is talking about finance and about money, but there are other things that we give to God as well, aren't there? Whether that be our time, whether that be our energy, whether that be the gifts that we have within us. But as we lay them before God as an offering of thanks, that prayer that says, God, will you use me? Will you take the gifts that you have given me that I might offer them as a love offering back to you? That sense of sacrifice and worship combined, that God then moves and blesses back. Now, I think many of us could give testimony to that, couldn't we, this morning? That as we have received from God, we offer that back. What does Paul talks about in Romans about being living sacrifices, doesn't he? Our lives should be living sacrifices before God. That as we, all that we have comes from him, and as we lay that down before him and say, Lord, would you use me today in whatever form or fashion that might be, may that be my love offering to you as a form of thanksgiving. That form of thanksgiving, those goes out because it's practical, to bless and encourage others. So if we get our vertical relationship right with God, our horizontal relationship with our brothers and sisters automatically flows out, doesn't it? You can't help but do that. Am I right in saying that? If God is in the house and living within us and our relationship of thanksgiving is right before him, the blessing that we have received, we pour out to others. Because that's just the natural order of things. Some of you are looking a bit quizzical at me. That sense that as God, as we receive from God, so we bless others with whatever gifting that might be. My last point is that sense of commitment or obedience to God. And verse 13. Let's just look at verse 13 together. And it says this. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. Well, that's a bit of a mouthful, isn't it? Shall I just read that again? Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, others will praise God for your obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. It's a long sentence, but what's Paul trying to say here? When others see what the Corinthian church has given, they will praise God. Why? Because their because of their giving, observers will see a tangible evidence that the Corinthian church are living out their Christian faith and lives. I suppose proof, if you like, that God is at work. Jesus really is Lord. He's not just on their lips, but in their actions and outworking of their faith. That the way of seeing giving is a practical and visible outworking of our faith is true in every generation. For every time a Christian gives to God's work, he or she is making a step and a statement of faith that says, I love God. Recognizing all that I have comes from him. They're saying that Jesus is Lord. We're not doing it because that we must, because Paul started that we must give cheerfully, joyfully. If we can't give cheerfully and joyfully, then I think Paul would say, don't give at all. Because giving comes out of a relationship with the living God. As I've said before, as we receive from God, the overflow is to give back to him. God gave everything for us in the form of his son Jesus, didn't he? He's allowed his son to suffer at the cross for our sins, as we saw in the video right at the beginning, that mankind has made a mess of the world, and yet God found a way to redeem us. As God has redeemed us, that outflowing of praise, that outflowing of expression of love to God, comes from that place of recognizing his lordship in our lives. And as we recognize that lordship, you just turn the tap on and it overflows. When we don't recognize the lordship of God, the overflow is not there. Do you agree with that statement? When we don't recognize the lordship of God in our lives, there is no overflow. There is no outpouring of praise. So when Paul writes to the church at Corinth and he's saying that others will be encouraged by your generosity as you give, because you're giving out of the overflow of God's blessing, so others will see that. And you, by doing that, you're demonstrating your love and trust for God in that. Giving is from an open hand that comes from a generous heart. Giving, whatever form of giving that comes out of an open hand that comes from a heart that wants to bless because we've already been blessed. I think each of us in this room have been blessed, haven't we? In some shape or form. Each of us have been blessed. And that natural response to that blessing is to say, thank you, isn't it? I would urge you this morning, recognize the blessing that you've received and be thankful. Be grateful. Give God the glory for all that he has poured out in you and through you and continues to do that. God loves nothing more than blessing us. It might not be in the way that we think we ought to be blessed. Have you got that? It might not be in the way that you think you should be blessed, but God does bless because it says so in his word. He pours out blessing upon blessing upon blessing in our lives. Let's not be like my son that ignores the blessing and says thank you. But let's be grateful. Let's have a heart that's in gratitude that says, Lord, thank you for blessing me. Because as you bless me, I'm then able to bless others. Have an open hand. Receive the blessing so God might pour it out to others. I'm going to stop there. Let us pray, shall we? Father, we want to thank you for your blessing. We want to thank you for your love towards us. We want to thank you that you are the God who supplies all our needs. Not our wants, but our needs. Father, you never said that this journey would be easy with you. And at times, Father, I confess that it's tough. But during those tough times, Lord, you are stretching, you are growing, you are causing us to be changed because you love us. Because you want to see a harvest that's produced in us. And sometimes, Father, we need to go through those tough places so that we're ready to receive what you want to pour into our lives. So, Lord, if there are those that are going in that tough place at the moment, I pray, Lord, that you would give them strength and stamina to walk through that at this moment, to rise up and know that you have them, you're with them, you are guiding them and leading them through. And for those, Lord, that are in that place of blessing, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to recognize that blessing, to give you thanks, and to give to you what's rightly yours. That we might lay our lives daily down as a sacrifice before you, recognizing that all we have comes from you. Our time, our talents, our money. And the Lord, that you might use them to build the kingdom of God in this place and further afield. Father, I thank you that you would choose us to do that. That we might feel that we're insignificant. But Lord, because of you, you have made us significant. We are valuable in your sight, and we say thank you for that. Thank you for loving us in the way that you do. Thank you for pouring your spirit out the way that you do. Thank you for blessing us with spiritual blessings. But Lord, help us to be grateful. Help us to be grateful for all that you are doing in us and through us, that the kingdom of God might continue to press ahead because you're with us. Give us grateful hearts, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.